Blog Talk Radio.
Oh. Tune in each week to Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, hosted by author James T. Deshay. Tune in and dial in Tuesday, 6 p.m., 657-383-0309, Thursday, 6 p.m., 347-855-8867, and Saturdays, 8 p.m., 657-383-0309, all times Eastern. James is the author of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and also Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. We talk about everything that's happening in our world, anything that impacts the lives of our listeners. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, email us at djames82@aol.com or call 407-394-9819 for more information. That's Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, heard here on your favorite radio station, Never Had It So Good, Sports Media Network.
Welcome, everyone. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, coming to you from Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for letting me be here with you. I tell you, when I'm off, I can't wait to get back to you and so that we can have an opportunity to share a conversation about what's going on and around in our world. And I just want to say to you that there are a few things I need to say. I first want to say, guys, listen, I want you to be free to call and share your opinions. I want you to know that when you call and talk on my show, your opinion will always be respected, and that we want to solicit you to come in and talk, even if you think your viewpoint won't be the same as mine. I need you to fully understand that I am an African-American man, and I bring to my show a vision that relates to my experience. So that's just my point, that's my experience. And I certainly want those of you out there who come from a different standpoint, a different race, or a different gender, to bring with you your experiences. And so, therefore, when we talk about different subjects, our experiences, we're going to have something to do with our opinions, and I respect that. So I just want you to always know that you are free to come call into my show, no matter what your gender is, no matter what your race is. And I want you to bring a reality to your opinion to the show so that we can all just listen and see where we can make compromises, where we might not make any compromises. But the fact is that this show is a vehicle for you to express your opinion. And there's so many things that we need to talk about. Today is no different. I hope that we get to three TV reports that we'll get to and talk about. First one, I just want to say to you, I'm bringing it to you because it's one of the reasons why there's so much division in our communities, in our cities, in our states, and in our country. And it's division and this divisiveness comes in when we all should be governed by the same set of rules. But there are times when a judge or a prosecutor may do things that deviate from the norm. And most of the time when those deviations are made, they're made at the expense of a woman or made at the expense of minorities. And always in favor of white males. And so when we play this, I want you to understand that there's a part of our country that has to have a voice, be it a woman's voice or minority voices, that say that we cannot continue to go in a direction where one facet of our country seems to get all the breaks and everybody else is punished irregardless of what the situation might be. So when you listen to this story, I want you to bring all that to the table. I want you to tell me why this is a the, this particular report is a form of racism. Why is it that women ought to get upset about it? Minorities ought to get upset about it. Here's another situation where someone who is in an economically high rate go to a predominant, a prestigious school who's given a break that none of the rest of us would receive. And so we just want to listen to this and give our honest opinion about where we are in regards to these kind of stories, because it happens all the time. So this particular story is another case where a young white boy whose father has money and prestige is given a break, and we need to talk about it. So we're going to play this report regarding a white female who was raped and what became when the gentleman was found guilty, punishment he received from the judge. So let's listen to this short clip and come back and talk about it.
Good morning. Well, at his sentencing, Brock Turner could have received 14 years in prison. Instead, he got just 6 months here in the county jail, which means he's actually likely to spend just 3 months behind bars. Brock Turner is a former Stanford University swimming star. His 23-year-old victim, who is not a Stanford student, remains anonymous. But her letter to the judge describing the emotional impact of sexual assault is finding a wide audience. "You took away my worth, my privacy, my energy, my time, my safety, my intimacy, my confidence," she wrote. "I don't want my body anymore. I was terrified of it." She admits to drinking too much at a fraternity party and blacking out. She was discovered nearly naked on the ground behind a dumpster. The attack was stopped by two grad students who happened to ride by on bicycles.
I shook her and she didn't move at all.
Carl Frederick Arndt and his friend later told authorities that they saw Turner on top of the victim, aggressively thrusting his hips into her.
The guy stood up, then we saw that she wasn't moving still, so we called him out on it, and the guy ran away. My friend Peter chased after him.
Turner claimed she consented. She wrote, "His attorney constantly reminded the jury, the only one we can believe is Brock, because she doesn't remember. That helplessness was traumatizing."
It was kind of a punch to the gut.
Alalay Kienersey was the prosecutor in the case.
I cried. I was felt like they didn't do my part in representing her interest in the case because of the slap on the wrist sentence that the defendant got.
Last week, Turner was sentenced to 6 months in jail and must register as a lifelong sex offender. In an online petition, thousands are calling for Judge Aaron Persky to be removed from the bench after what they consider to be a light sentence.
Do you have any comment for your...
Brock Turner's father is also being criticized for a statement he read to the court. "His life will never be the one that he dreamed. That is a steep price to pay for 20 minutes of action."
It's nothing. He got off easy.
John Krakauer is the author of Missoula, a book that focuses on sexual assaults involving student athletes at the University of Montana.
That happens over and over again where, you know, we think about, oh my God, You're ruining this poor boy's life. No one thinks about the victim. No one thinks about her life, which has already been ruined.
Brock Turner's attorney isn't talking. As for the judge, he said at sentencing that Turner's age and lack of criminal history were factors in his decision. He said a prison sentence would have had a severe impact on Turner. The judge is actually up for re-election today, but it's uncontested. Nora?
Wow. Thank you, John.
Here you go, guys. Here is a Stanford student, an athlete, who gets 6 months in jail for a rape. 6 months in jail for a rape, probably only do 3 months. A white male who was caught raping a girl on outside behind a dumpster, who was not capable of giving consent. Now, where is the fairness in that? Now, there are so many things that we need to discuss and talk about in regard to why that is totally unfair. Totally unfair because no one of color could have received that kind of punishment. And had your daughter been violated in that fashion, how would you have felt about some white young man getting 6 months? And there was a recent young man, African-American, who was a football player, in the same situation, got nearly 10 years. These are the kinds of incidents that take place across our country that are a violation of just human dignity and rights, where there's no fairness whatsoever involved. And we have to make sure that individuals who are judges, tutors, know that we're not going to stand for this kind of inequality. We cannot allow our young men, African-American young men, to have to spend long sentences in jail, and somehow those of another color get 6 months. There has to be fairness in the law. The law has to be blind to one's color so that we can recognize that we are all being treated fairly. And I'd just like to get your idea of sense of what you think about how a judge was willing to give this young man 6 months in jail, knowing that he's going to get out in 3 months, and think that is fair punishment. 8701, give us your name and where you're calling from, and let me know what it is you're thinking in regards to this incident.
Well, I'm sorry, James. I'm just getting on, so I haven't. My name is Sky Wonders from Atlanta. I'm sorry. Can you tell me?
Okay, no problem, Sky. Well, we have a situation where a young white male who was a student at Stanford and was on the swim team took advantage of a young lady who had been drinking too much and raped her outside behind a dumpster, caught by two other students. And after being convicted, he only received 6 months. His father requested leniency for his son, saying that his son should not be punished for the rest of his life for 20 minutes of action. And this judge decided to give him 6 months when he could have been given 14 years. So we just want to talk about the fairness when you know that there are African-American males who are going to jail for 10 years for the same situation, and how is that fair to women of any color?
Well, actually, I can't say that it's more of a race thing. I think it's the people that we have in office, we need to get more good judges in office, you know, to be more critical on things like that. I mean, I look at Michael Vick. Look what happened to him. Just, you know, for some dogs. I'm not downplaying animal cruelty, but he got more time and punishment for that with dogs.
Exactly. That's a prime example. You know, here's a man gets 3 to 4 years for fighting dogs, and this young man who went to Stanford, was an athlete, can rape a female and get 6 months. There's no fairness in that.
That goes to show you that, you know, a lot of times women are treated like a piece of meat, and it's not respected, or bodies are not respected, and I don't know. It's just really sad. It's really sad.
And the young lady did a statement in court where she suggested that her body was no longer hers. She just wanted to unzip herself and allow her spirit out of it because she felt like her body was no longer belonged to her. That now she has to have a nightlight on like a fifth grader because she no longer feels safe. And how this has impacted her life for the rest of her life.
The rest of her life, exactly.
And this young man gets 6 months.
And able to walk around and probably do it to the next person.
And his dad had the nerve to say he doesn't smile like he used to anymore. He's not outgoing like he used to anymore. I mean, it's incredible that he would even, his father is just seems to be oblivious to what he took this woman through.
Exactly. You know, I mean, I get it when you're you know, do anything for your child, but right is right and wrong is wrong. And compassion for others, you know, is missing amongst our nation. Like, we just no longer have compassion for others and what they're going through and what they're dealing with and all that. It's all about me, 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 me.
But along with that, Sky, is just when a judge goes in his chambers and comes out and makes a decision, see, it leads me to believe, it's hard to believe that a judge would have that much compassion for this young man, knowing what the backlash is going to be. You know, can you imagine you thinking that the citizens are going to allow you, because everyone is thinking about their daughters, their wives, you know, their nieces. And here you are, and their recent young man, again, there have been several athletes at several different schools who are going to be given years and years in jail, and you're going to give this young man 6 months?
Crazy.
And he's only going to be in there three months, or with good behavior, he'll be out in 3 months. And this woman, like she says, has to live with what took place in her life, never feeling safe again.
So James, my question is, what do we do? You know, we all talk about these topics and things like that, and we, you know, solution. I mean, is there anything that we can do to change?
Well, I think those people who are getting names and calling for this judge to be recalled and kicking him out of office, that's where it starts. But it starts with us not stop talking about it. God, we have to keep talking about it. And we have to keep talking about it every place that we can so that the loudness of our voices starts to be heard so these judges know, whoa, I don't want no part of that. I want to be fair. I want to be honest. I want to make sure that everybody feels like they're being treated fairly. Because if they think any side is going to be quiet, then they're going to be willing to say, do something that may be inappropriate.
Right.
So it's important for us to yell and scream so that no one believes that they can slip this under the rug, that it will not be dealt with. Sky, I want you to stay there. We got another caller, but stay there. And let me get this other caller in.
Okay,
1958. Give us your name and where you're calling from. 1958. Are you out there? Well, I just want, you know, Scott, the thing is that when you see this, I worked in the jail here in Orlando for nearly 10 years. And I would hear these young men talk about how unfairly they were treated in jail. And there were times when I would counsel them not to play with these juries, not to play with these judges, because they needed to make sure that they didn't allow their lives to be abused in any fashion, because if they took these guys through any changes or challenging them, they would get a lot more time. And that none of the guys that I worked with would ever have faced 6 months in jail. You know, so when you have somebody talking about raping somebody and only getting 6 months in jail, you know, the guys that I worked with and taught, that would be like a gift. You know, because they didn't have any influential parents. They didn't have no millionaire parents. You know, they used to call the lawyers that the city would give them, they would call them pretenders, because they would never do a good job for them. They were always trying to get them cop a plea so that it could be over quickly. But the thing that we have to do is when we see these situations where judges are handing out these unfair sentences, like rape, you only get 6 months for rape and you're going to be out in 3 months, but yet you're giving an African-American man 10 years, that's the unfairness that we have to fight about.
It should be, yeah, seeing us individuals, that's different counties, different states, and how it, yeah. I don't know.
Let me bring Princess in, and because she always has some good conversations for us related to unfair treatment. So, Princess, will you come in and let us know what you think about this 6 month sentence that this young man got for a rape on a college campus?
You know, hey Sky and hey James, how are you doing? Thank you guys for letting me just add a little bit to this, and I hope Sky understands where I'm coming from a woman's point of view. I could care less what color the guy is. I could care less where he's going to school. I could care less about his family. The fact that he took a helpless woman and had her out by the dumpster with half her clothes off, unresponsive, unconscious, and did this, and then said she consented. He's an animal, and he needs more than 6 months. And, of course, this is an example of white privilege. His dad is thinking about, oh, he doesn't smile anymore, and he hadn't had a steak in a while. He barely eats. I could care less if he never eats again. He has lost his human nature in order to do this to a woman like this or to anybody. I don't understand where our society has gone, but he needs more than 6 months, and I hope this judge is reprimanded or loses his seat for at least a while. I don't care if he's not opposed in his reelection. I hope he loses his seat somehow, and there needs to be a lot said for him. But to hear her story and to her right that she lost so much in this is an example of what happens when these women are violated, and we cannot take it. We have to take this seriously. Sky, do you understand where I'm coming from?
I sure do, Princess. I agree with you. You couldn't have said it any better.
Yeah.
And
as
a man, I would tell you this. I have a daughter, and if someone would say, give him 6 months, I would tell the judge, no, let me just have him for half an hour, and then you don't need to give him 6 months. Because if I thought he was going to give him, then my beating to him will be worth more than 6 months. But here you are, give this young man 6 months. And again, I tell you, I've been around people who would do 6 months, and they'll stand on their head for 6 months. And they know that those are not the type of sentences that are given to minorities. And that's what we talk about. When we talk about just the unfairness in a system that will allow people to get off this way. You know, a few months ago we talked about a young man who left America and went to Mexico because they were trying to get him back in jail. And he killed three people driving drunk and got probation. See, that never happened to African Americans. They said he was too rich to understand the rules. See, and those are the kinds of things that upset people who go through the system and they get these serious sentences, but yet you got people who do some horrific things and are given a slap on the wrist.
Yep. Exactly.
And Scott, that's the reason why we can't be quiet. We have to scream from the rooftop every time it goes wrong, every time it happens, every vehicle that is out there, the national TV, radio, blog, wherever it is, we need to scream from the rooftops so that so people will know that we're just not going to tolerate it.
Yeah.
You're correct, James.
Yeah, we refuse to let the system think that it can just sneak stuff under the rug and violate people's human rights without there being a price to pay. And that's what we have to be willing to yell and scream about, so that there's no place for people to hide. There's no place for them to get relief because there are too many people talking about it and demanding change. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back. You wanted to say?
No. I agree with you. I was just going to say thank you for letting me give my input, and we can go ahead and go to break. Sorry.
All right. Let's go to break, and we'll come back, and we'll hear another one of these stories that were released today so that we can talk about what these issues are and how we should respond to them.
You use Tide Pods?
Yeah.
But I thought you were the queen of the pre-treat soak, treat soak.
Those are fond memories, but those things are amazing. Once I saw what they did, I actually started to relax. Don't touch my things. Those little guys clean, brighten, and fight stains. So now I can focus on more pressing matters.
Like your container.
Isn't it beautiful?
Your sweet peppers aren't next to your hot peppers.
That's my Tide. What's yours?
Hi, I am Princess Cooper, CEO of Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network, and we would like to welcome the following shows. Teen Talk Radio with Minister Clarence Arad in Columbia, South Carolina. Been There, Done That with Cindy Smith in Atlanta, Georgia. Recovery Just for Today with Lloyd Jr. and Lloyd Sr. in Atlanta, Georgia. Chef Shack Live with Chicafrica Simmons in Tallahassee, right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. It's a Way Out, hosted by Marlon Reed in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Wake Up Call, hosted by Pastor Annie Sally, live from Charlotte, North Carolina. Spiritually Reincarnated with host Gilbert Seitz from Orlando, Florida. Breaking the Silence, the dialogue about mental health with Don E. Miller from Atlanta, Georgia. And Regina's World with Regina E. Williams, live from Columbia, South Carolina. We are a better network for having them aboard.
A new photo of a familiar face, an older, grayer version of a smiling O.J. Simpson. The new picture, the most recent mugshot of Simpson from the Lovelock Correctional Center in Nevada, where he's been locked up for 8 years. The mugshot, part of a routine practice to keep updated information on inmates. Now 68 years old and wearing his prison-issued uniform, Simpson has not been pictured in a mugshot since 2013. The once beloved NFL star is serving a sentence of up to 33 years for a 2007 incident at a Las Vegas hotel. Simpson was found guilty in 2008 of criminal conspiracy, kidnapping, assault, robbery, and using a deadly weapon. The Heisman Trophy winner could be paroled as early as 2017 after completing a mandatory minimum 9 years of his sentence. The photo comes as his longtime friend and former L.A. police officer Ron Shipp is speaking out, telling the New York Daily News Simpson is in total torment today, adding that, "I hope one day he actually will rid us of all the doubt and all the conspiracy theories and say, sorry, I cannot go to prison because of double jeopardy laws, but I'm sorry I did it." Shipp referring, of course, to Simpson's trial of the century, once again making headlines amid a new documentary on Simpson's life. And the wildly popular show American Crime Story, The People vs. O.J. Simpson.
Let me be clear. This is my case.
Renewing the debate over whether Simpson killed his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend Ronald Goldman, with major players in the case now voicing their opinions on the controversial verdict.
To say that I'm at peace with the verdict, no. I mean, no.
There's moral justice and there's legal justice. And when that not guilty verdict was rendered, I felt legal justice was done. As far as moral justice, I haven't discussed it with anyone, including my wife.
And Simpson was, of course, cleared of murdering his ex-wife and Goldman in the world-famous year-long trial in 1995, but in the civil trial in 97, he was found liable for the double murders and ordered to pay the families $33 million. And, of course, he's been in prison.
Guys, this is one of those stories that just seems to will not go away. And I just want to give you some history of my opinion and, you know, where I stand right now. I have to tell you that when this trial was going on and O.J. Simpson was on trial for murdering his ex-wife and Ron Goldman, I was truly hoping that he was found not guilty. I was happy when the results came back and he was found not guilty. And I thought that there was just too much going on related to the case that seemed to be prejudicial about the case. There was too much bad behavior by the police officers and those kinds of things. So I thought he deserved to be found not guilty, and I was happy about it. But even after he was found not guilty, in all honesty, I always felt that he had done it. But I guess my experience had been so often African Americans had not done things and were convicted, and that here was a time when an African American was not treated fairly or it didn't prove that he was found guilty, and the system worked because it wasn't proven. Now, because it wasn't proven doesn't mean that I don't think he did it. I just think it was one of those cases where he was not proven guilty, so he deserved to walk. But at the same time, I'm asking myself now, should we even care about O.J. Simpson? Should we even have to deal with the emotional baggage forces us to carry by constantly being in the news? This man had an opportunity to go sit himself down somewhere and reflect on what he did or didn't do that caused the death of those two people. But no, he was so full of himself that he thought he was going to be above the law, not one time, but multiple times. He had been in trouble multiple times before he got caught this last. And why should we have to carry the emotional baggage or emotions related to him because he chose to put himself in that vulnerable situation? He knew those people were after him. He knew that he risked everything by behaving in the fashion that he did. Or he just, did he think he was above the law? Did O.J. Simpson truly believe that he was above the law and he could carry a bunch of hoodlum friends with him and go steal his stuff back and nothing was going to be said or happen as a result? So at this point, I have to tell you that he is reaping what he sowed. And though I feel sorry for the fact that he is 68 years old and he may or may not get released next year, and had to spend his elden years in jail, it is his own fault. It is nobody else's fault but O.J. Simpson. And we should not feel guilty or emotionally down because of what he inflicted on himself. At some point, you have to be held responsible and accountable for your actions. Cannot want public opinion to intervene on your behalf to get you off for something you did to yourself. And O.J. Simpson has to take ownership of his behavior. And if they allow him to be released, then so be it. But it should not have to cost minorities any more an emotional attachment because we have given enough. We have given enough of our emotions, enough of our commitment and dedication and time and brain power. We have given enough. He deserves no more from the black community or the minority community or from America at all. He should be forgotten. He should not be given any more time because he chose the direction of his life. He made these decisions, and therefore he needs to be held accountable. His name should no longer give any factor to how he is treated. He put himself in the history book in this fashion, and so now he should have to live with it. So there's no more sorrow for me to give for O.J. Simpson. There's no more thought that I want to give to his situation or effort that I want to put in regards to what his outcome should be. Because once he got off the first time, he should have went somewhere and sat himself down and enjoyed his freedom when it could have all have been taken away from him. And these are the things that we need people to understand. When you're given a second chance, you have to take full credit or full advantage of it. You don't allow a second chance just to get away from you so that you can mess up again. And in this case, O.J. Simpson, at some reason, some way, believed he was against the law. He was above the law. And he chose to do another crime. So therefore, I have no sadness for his situation. I do have sadness for his two kids. We have not heard from them. I hope that they're doing well and that they no longer have to deal with or feel guilty about where their father is. And I hope that if he's released, that he will have an opportunity to go quietly somewhere and sit himself down. Because we should no longer be forced to have to deal with him and this outrageous situation that he finds himself in. America no longer wants, should no longer feel obligated to allow our time, our precious time, to be wasted on his behalf. He soaked up all the energy that we should be willing to expend on him and his outrageous behavior. It's time for us to put O.J. and his theatrics behind us and move on. There are too many more things, important things, for us to care about and worry about. And he just does not fit into the equation. I want to say to you guys, I really appreciate and thank you for allowing me this opportunity to use this vehicle to bring these stories to you and have this conversation with you. I also want to ask you to go to my new website and tell me what you think. www.jamestdeshay, that's jamestdeshay.com. Go to my new website address, look around, kick the tires, and tell me what you think. I also want you to write me at djames82@aol.com. Write me and tell me if you would like to be on the show, be a co-host, subjects you would like us to talk about. It is so very important that we have this vehicle to share our thoughts and let everyone know what it is we're thinking and how we feel about the different things that are going on in our society. This is a vehicle that you can always come on my show and talk about those things that are most important to you. And it's time for us to make sure that our voices are heard loud and clear when it comes to the things that are going on around in our country. That's what we need to do. We need to make sure that our leaders and our elected officials and the police officers and everybody have a way of cluing in and knowing what it is that we're out here thinking and how their behavior impacts our society. We're going to take a short break and we're going to end the show and we'll be right back with you. So we're going to take a short break and we're going to come back and we're going to end the show. But I want you to know I am so happy and proud to be here and bring these subjects to you so we can have an honest discussion. A short break and we'll be right back.
Better network as explained by an abnormally large basketball hoop.
When a wireless network has bigger capacity, more data gets through more quickly. Score. Better matters. Verizon.
Okay, guys, one of the things I also want to share with you, I want you to be aware that Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network is here to provide you with a lot of opportunities to listen to a lot of different programs. So I want you to get in the habit of finding Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network so that you can have an opportunity to hear all the different programs that are available. Coming right up after this program is a new young lady named Sky. Unmuted, let your voices be heard. And again, we're out here so that you can make sure that you have a vehicle for your voices to be heard. And we're all here so that we can make something positive happen with the world around us. Sky Wonders has an awesome show. She's here on the network from Atlanta. And she's unmuted and prepared and ready to talk about everything under the sun. And that's the same thing with Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. Thought, Love, and Reflection is here for you to have the opportunity to allow your voice to be heard loud and clear across America and across the world. We're here to make a statement about what's going on in our society, and we will not sit back and fact-cat it and let things happen to us. We're going to make things happen. We're not going to let things happen, and we're going to talk about everything that needs to be discussed and make sure that we demand that things, the right things happen at the right time. So it's time for us to speak with one voice, speak loudly and clearly, so everyone knows exactly what your opinion is. And again, we have a lot of shows on Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network that address that. So we want you to become a part of the growing audience on Sports Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. And we want you to be a part of my audience on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, where you have an opportunity to have your voice heard. I want you to write me at djames82@aol.com. I want you to go to my new website and let me know what you think, www.jamestdeshay.com, jamesdeshay.com. And I want you to just let me know what it is that you're thinking. We're here to make a difference, and we can't make the difference we want to make unless you're out there listening and calling in and letting your voice be heard. This is the time or place to make sure that everyone knows we have a voice, and we're going to yell our voice at the top of our lungs so we make sure that those who need to hear us will address the issues that we have. This is James Deshay, your host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, and I'll be back with you on Thursday at 6 p.m. and Saturday at 8 p.m. I look forward to having you come in and listen and be a part of my show. Good evening and good night, and I'll see you again on Thursday. Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, your vehicle to have your voice heard. Take care.
The beauty that exists within you comes forth through years of determination created to destroy the stereotypes which have suggested that you are unable to be the perfect woman. The essence of who you are is found in strength that makes you resist the negative views of others. Your ebony skin tone encompasses all the strides needed to display your greatness. You're the magic that exists in being a black woman of color. You transcend the power of those who see you as weak while finding the power to exhibit a softness that all men desire. Those unable to see the uniqueness of your spirit can't behold the perfection of the Creator's gift. This is from the depth of the heart of a black man.